Welcome to Am I the Bleep, the podcast where Jonathan and me, also a Jonathan, read, discover, try to understand who the bleeps in the world are. We do this by reading various Am I the Asshole posts from Reddit. If you haven't heard about Reddit, I don't know how to help you. But you can go to reddit.com and start exploring. It might be a little overwhelming at first. John, do you have any pro tips for anybody who hasn't used Reddit, who's about to jump into the everything bagel that is the internet?
Well, I was going to say, it kind of sucks that the limits of our coaching fall in if you know Reddit or not. But it's a website that is currently on fire because of its controversial take on third-party apps. But the premise is that it's like the forum boards of the 90s, except everyone's on it. And there's a discussion board for literally everything, including asking strangers on the internet if they are or are not the assholes. And that's what we do on the show. And I actually think that from what you told me, we have a special one.
We do have a special one. I just want to point out that you said it's like the forums of the 90s, but people are on it. And I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe you're on the forums of the 90s. I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, we probably weren't. We were very young, and we had dial-up internet.
I was on YTV's forums.
Were you
talking about the anime that they would show on Friday night? But that's neither here nor there.
Any fun takes from those forums? I probably don't want to know.
No, you probably don't want to know.
Forums about anime from a bunch of 7-year-olds on YTV probably got a little heated and a lot.
I remember some hot takes, and not all of them were safe for work or safe for podcast.
Fair enough.
Which is shocking because it was on YTV, youthtelevision.com. Yeah.
Is that what YTV stands for?
That's what YTV stands for, I guess.
Yeah, they had that. They had the guy from Uh-Oh, who threw kids in the slime, who was in an unsavory costume.
I know for a fact most of our listeners are not in Canada, and this is absolutely unintelligible.
Well, what was the guy's name? Wink Yahoo, right?
Wink Yahoo. Okay, go look up Wink Yahoo. Pause the episode. We'll wait. Look up Wink Yahoo. Come back to us. Doesn't that guy have crazy hair? What a cool dude.
Hair only a Wink Yahoo or a Jimmy Neutron could have. Only those two.
All the hair gel in Canada was used on one man.
Hair gel, hairspray, hair product, pomade.
Hair product, pomade.
You know who doesn't need hair product or pomade, though?
Who?
ChatGPT. And I know ChatGPT has actually come up on our show before, and we tried to get ChatGPT to see if, you know, they'd be a good coach. We discovered that humans are better. But
what was the name of the bit? Am I the Beep? That would have been clever. Am I the Bot?
We can retroactively go and edit it and say, Am I the Beep? Because it is really good.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, yeah. This segment is called Am I the Beep?
Exactly. And we actually got, I don't know how to describe it. So basically, somebody I know from work, their son went to ChatGPT and they wrote an Am I the Asshole post. And then somebody, that person I know from work, said, Hey, Jonathan's, because, you know, they can only talk to both of us at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
We're a plural. Exactly. I am a plural. You're a plural. We are
Jonathan. Yeah.
And here we are, and we're going to present it on the show. So if you're interested, it's actually on our chat GPT, but it's by GD Gameplayer. So GD Gameplayer, if you're out there, thank you so much. And I'll just jump right into it. Am I the asshole for ruining my friend's surprise party and making it all about me? So a few days ago, my friend was throwing a surprise party for her significant other's birthday. Everyone was really excited and putting in a lot of effort to make it special. I was invited to the party, and I knew it was supposed to be a surprise. Now, here's where things took a turn. As soon as I arrived at the party, I couldn't help but feel like I should be the center of attention. I mean, it's not every day that I get to attend a party, right? So I decided to take matters into my own hands. As soon as the birthday person walked into the room and everyone yelled, "Surprise!" I felt a pang of jealousy. I mean, why weren't they yelling for me? So I loudly announced, "Hey everyone, I just got a promotion at work," and proceeded to launch into a long self-centered monologue about my achievements. People's faces went from excited to confused, and I could tell that I had stolen the spotlight from the birthday person. But honestly, I didn't care. I was reveling in the attention I was getting. I could see my friend, the host, looking frustrated, but I brushed it off. Throughout the night, I made sure to bring the conversation back to myself at every opportunity. Every time someone tried to talk about the birthday person or the party, I somehow managed to steer the conversation back to my amazing promotion and how hard I worked for it. By the end of the night, I could tell that the atmosphere had changed. People seemed annoyed and distant, and I overheard a few whispers about how I had ruined the surprise and made the party all about me. But honestly, I don't think I did anything wrong. I deserved the attention. It was my right to make the party about me, right? So, Reddit. Am I the bleep? Am I the beep? Am I the asshole for stealing the spotlight and making my friend's significant other's surprise birthday party all about me? Dr. Jonathan Rom.
Narcissistic personality disorder doesn't make you an asshole. It means that you have a condition, I'm pretty sure. But the writing is so compelling at just being without absolution at every turn. Just no saving grace, nothing that you can like catch on to. It almost sounds like the person is kidding, because it just seems so mean-spirited and selfish. I'm gonna say that person, well done, ChatGPT, that person is the asshole, but I would sooner refer them to clinical health than I would try to coach them, because I feel like if you really see that you did nothing wrong, then that's questionable. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think they crushed it? It crushed it?
So actually, before we get there, let's take a moment and talk a bit about narcissism, because this is something that I actually hear thrown a lot around quite a bit. So there's being a narcissist, there's narcissism, and there's like a narcissist myth, which is very hard for me to say with my lisp. And then there is narcissistic personality disorder. When is something narcissism that happens sometimes, and when is it narcissistic personality disorder? Does everyone who thinks about themselves, are they suddenly, you know, clinically a narcissist?
Oh, I thought that was a rhetorical question. No.
Sorry, we're recording late. I know I have flat affect today, but that was a question, Jen.
Let the
Jonathan without the doctor in front of his name, or the one studying clinical psychology, take a stab at the disorder talk. Let's go.
No. And an easy way to think about it is that people can have narcissistic traits, but it's when the narcissistic traits are so overwhelming that it's essentially ruining their life. And whether they are aware of it or not, that's when it becomes a personality disorder. It also has to have kind of been there forever. It doesn't really develop later in life. It's more like you can go back all the way to childhood and understand like, oh, this is how this personality developed. But just because you think very highly of yourself and you think you're amazing doesn't mean you have a narcissistic personality disorder. You could be just a kind of narcissistic person, and that's a different bag. Actually, the character's name is Narcissus.
Oh, thank you. That would have been helpful to know when I was giving my little like preamble there.
Yeah, I think he was the son of Aphrodite. It's not important to the podcast, but it's a fun myth. I think he dies because he drowns, because he can't look away from water.
From his reflection, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it's a fun one. But yeah, no, you don't necessarily. That guy had personality disorder because it killed him, and that's not great.
And I think this is actually like an important thing. And I promise ChatGPT and and GD game player. We're going to get back to this in a second, but this is really important. I've been hearing this a lot when people are talking about, you know, anxious versus an anxiety disorder or so on and so forth. We all have traits inside us that if you went through reading like a mental health disorders textbook, you can be like, that's me, that's me, that's me. And every single class that we take about this type of thing, the teacher, the professor will say first thing, you're going to notice a bit of yourself in all of these. That doesn't mean you have them, but if you're concerned, talk to a doctor. So similarly here, my coaching to this individual would be, hey, you know, like all of this stuff around that day when it was your friend's significant other's birthday party, a day that is specifically, you know, you're a guest. It's not about you. Firstly, I'm going to ask a lot of questions like, where else is this showing up in your life? Was this one day? Was this an isolated event? Or is this something that's happening pretty frequently? You know, our original poster here seems to, you know, be very clear and have a lot of detail about this specific type of dynamic. So where else is this showing up? If it's tending to show up quite a bit, 100%. Like, let's help, let's coach our coachee to check out, go to a clinical psychologist and, you know, get assessed for narcissistic personality disorder. And there's a lot of help that can be done for that as well. I imagine it's like a CBT type of thing, but any ideas?
Yeah, it's traditionally like it's not medicated. It's usually treated through cognitive behavioral therapy. I think there's actually, I haven't read in a long time, like what the best therapy is for narcissistic personality disorder, because it's like a really interesting one to have to deal with, because the person who shows up doesn't necessarily think they have anything wrong with them. And if you can prove to them they have it, they don't necessarily see it as like a functional impairment in their lives. For all intents and purposes, a lot of people are very successful because they're narcissistic and have that kind of confidence, unearned or otherwise, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So if they're like the broader firstly, yes, OP is behaving like an asshole 100%. Like, it's not about them that day. Our job when we're a guest is to be the guest. But with that said, if you're reading something or you're behaving pretty consistently against certain things in your environment, in this original poster's case, like going to parties and making it all about them, that's probably going to affect relationships. That's probably going to affect work. It's probably going to affect a lot of different things. That's when going to ask for any sort of help or guidance on how to get that help, it's really, really, really critical. We're going to plug it at the end of the show, but if, you know, you're thinking about, you know, what do I have? We do have authorjournal.talkspec.com, book a call button. During that intake call, if coaching isn't going to be a good fit, we're going to help you, you know, find a service that makes sense for you. And refer you in the right direction to get the help you need so that you're not an asshole like the Sophie. Obviously we'll be kinder than we are in the podcast. We're kind people in real life.
Not by much,
but not by much, but sure. A little bit, the required amount. Do you want to take the required amount of time in between this post and next post to fill in it in with a segue so that you can, you know, do your thing? What do you think?
What was the max speed on a segue? How fast are you actually allowed to go?
Well, let's ask ChatGPT. Max speed segue. 32 kilometers an hour. How to unlock the Segway 9Bot G65 Max 2 speed, brother?
That feels too fast.
Yeah, but not... just jump to the next post. Enough of this. Enough of this silliness.
Well, that's a segue for you. So This next post comes from Flaky Couple 1304, and they ask, am I the asshole for telling my sister that the name she chose for her son was not our grandpa's actual name, but the nickname he hated? My sister wanted to honor our late grandpa with her son's name and chose to call her son Bobby, which is what pretty much everyone called our grandpa. She mentioned the name being so special because it was his beloved great-grandpa's name, and that would be so special for our grandpa to have his name live on. So here's the thing. Bobby was my grandpa's nickname, and he hated it. His actual name was Cyrus, which was grandpa's mom's maiden name. Grandpa was named that by her. I see. Grandpa was named that by her, and after she died and his dad remarried, they started to call him Bobby because his stepmother's dad was Robert. Okay. Grandpa always hated Bobby. I assume the name. But after years of people refusing to listen, he gave in. He had a handful of friends who called him Cyrus/Cy, but that was it. I told my sister this and she was upset and asked why he hated Bobby. Bobby is so cute. I asked her how she'd feel to be named after her late parent and for his surviving parent and step-parent to then rename you after the step-parent's side unofficially, but to the point where it sticks more than your actual name. She was glad at first, but after a few weeks, she snapped and told me she doesn't like Cyrus, and I ruined the name Bobby for her. Am I the asshole for telling her the truth?
So for anyone who, like, we usually mention this right at the beginning, but we just, like, pick these randomly. We don't, like, pre-read them or pre-vet them. If that was confusing, let us know in the comments, and, you know, maybe we'll remember months from now what actually happened in this post, and we'll come back to it.
Did I encapsulate it?
Yeah, go for it.
There's this guy, yep. And his name was Cyrus, but he was nicknamed Bobby after the parent that named him passed away, and the step-parent and his surviving father nicknamed him Bobby after the stepmother's father.
Impressive.
The name is being inherited by this person's grandson who is yet unborn. And one of the grandchildren is letting the new mother know that their grandfather didn't really like the name. And it sounds like the new mother, this poster sister, is a little bit peeved because she doesn't like the name Cyrus. And she sounds like she already kind of committed to this whole bit. But she does acknowledge that Bobby was not the preferred name. How's that? A little long,
I think you did a fabulous job. I think OP here, not the asshole. You're just like, when you're relaying information in a way that, and we could ask how the conversation was and what was the tone like and what did it feel like and what it did it sound like. But we'll just take this post as it is. If you're literally saying information, like, oh, you want to name your son Bobby. Why do you want to name him that? Oh, after grandpa? Did you know his name was actually Cyrus? Plot twist, right? Oh, what happened? Oh, here's the really convoluted story that Dr. John did a really great job encapsulating. You didn't say, like, you son of a bitch, you can't name your unborn child Bobby. His real name was Cyrus. And Hannah Montana stuff and all of that Billy Ray honky-tonky heart. Or Achy Breaky Heart. That's the name of it.
Honky-tonky heart.
Achy Breaky Heart. I'm sorry.
That's your name.
I tried to do a thing, but it didn't work. And now it worked better, because now it's my name, apparently. Not the asshole. But I can imagine, like, I understand why there's feelings here. Like, when you're about to have a kid, and I haven't had this experience yet, when you're about to have a kid and you're starting to, like, picture what they're like, the name sort of does a lot, even though it's just a name. It really does a lot for you to start, like, picturing what that's like, and you're starting to picture the life for little Bobby. But hearing this information where it's like, that wasn't actually their name, it was actually Cyrus, and I don't like Cyrus for the baby's name, could be, you know, I've gotten too used to Bobby, or maybe I just don't like the name Cyrus for my kid, whatever the case might be. I understand why there would be feelings there. I don't think anyone is the asshole here. Other than for maybe the way they wrote this story, maybe it could have been a little less convoluted, but I think you did a really great job deciphering. There is a small edit at the bottom that the sister's baby was not born and is still not born. So I wanted her to know before the baby was there, which I think is really true because let's say like this same story sounds like it could have happened in a different way where the baby was born as Bobby. And then, you know, a month later, you know, some other great uncle or aunt passed by and said, oh, did you know Bobby's name was actually Cyrus? And then it would have been a whole thing. Like, why did nobody tell me? So on and so forth. Nobody's the asshole. But wow, that is some family story. That's wild.
I disagree.
Do it. Divisiveness. Disagree. Let's go.
To what end? Why would you tell her? Why? For like what purpose? Because that's the thing, right? Like, it's the truth. And we acknowledge that it's the truth, that the grandfather did not like this name. But the baby is just being named after what everyone called the grandfather. The baby's not being named after the grandfather's mother's dad. Like, that's not what it is. It's the memory of this person that they're being named after. And I feel like you're just kind of the asshole because you could have said nothing and nothing bad would have happened, but you had to just be right instead of everyone being happy. And that just feels like, that feels pointless. That said, I can't say I wouldn't have done the exact same thing. I probably would have done the same thing, but I can tell you as someone who would have done the same thing, don't do this. Don't do this. It's pointless. There's no point in being right when there's nothing gained and people really don't like being corrected generally, but certainly not over what they had their heart set on for a baby name. So it's also why you never tell people the name you're about to name your child,
yeah,
or nickname your child, because it just takes one person to be like, I don't know. I knew a Billy once and he used to make me eat ants. And now all you're thinking about when you're thinking of your baby is Billy Ant Feeder. And like, you don't want that. So
of the New York Ant Feeders?
Of the New York Ant Feeders.
Of course. So yeah. What you brought up before, I think, is really important, and it has a lot to do with when we're talking about arguments. That's the concept of being right or being happy. So a lot of us get into arguments with, you know, maybe a significant other, maybe a friend, maybe a coworker, often parents, where we're saying, you know, talking, and we have this like deep need to be right. And often when you're right, and this isn't every time, but quite often when you push to be right, you're actually causing a rift of sorts in the relationship that sometimes is irreparable and, like, you know, causes a lot of harm. So in that moment, sometimes you might need to be right or might feel you need to be right. But you also have a second choice, which is to be like, oh, you know, we have a difference of opinion and I can walk away being happy and we just understand each other, right? You can be right or you can be happy. It's very important. It's interesting that you went there and I went where I went. I really read this as more informational. And I think that's like speaks to the point that like these posts are so interesting because we read them at face value and we're often like, oh, I'd be curious about these things. The other information is so important. You can't just advise on some of this stuff because maybe it was an argument. Maybe they really just felt they were relaying information. But for those of you at home giving this a listen, let us know in the comments on the Q&A on Spotify if you listen there. Like, who do you think was the asshole here? Is there an asshole? Is there not an asshole to be or to not to be? To be or to not to be? To be or not to be?
No, you got it right the first time, Shakespeare.
Yeah.
To be or to not be or maybe to be.
Move over, Bobby. Billiam is coming in right in.
Billiam Shakes.
Squilliam.
All right, Squilliam. Why don't you break me off a piece of that next artistic post? Content? Yeah.
Okay,
spin me a tale.
So, I will spin you a tale away. Let's do it. So this one is by mindless_leg_7443. Keep those feet away from me. Am I the asshole for not respecting my husband's culture? I'm very excited to read this one. My husband is Indian and I'm white. We live in a house provided by my grandparents. He has a citizenship because of me. His parents came to visit and it's been an issue that I'm not a dutiful daughter-in-law while they are guests in my home. For some reason, they think after I work a whole week, I should come home and cater to them because that's what I should do. My husband is currently laid off work on unemployment and I'm not. It finally came to a head last night over dinner and he asked me if I could just respect his parents and show them I'm trying to impress them. We got into a huge argument and I said I could always divorce his son and tell the courts he's using me for citizenship because that's how I feel and it's time they go back to India and this vacation is over. My husband argued with me about it and I told him to try me because he is unemployed. We have only been married under 2 years. I have no desire to be bullied by his parents and wait on them while they are vacationing with me. I was told I was disrespectful and they have no extra money to get another lodging right now. I'm this close to divorce because the last 2 weeks they have visited have been hell and I am stressed. Up until this point, we had a great marriage, but his parents are making me rethink everything. Hot diggity dog. Am I the asshole? I added that last part in, but felt it was necessary. The hot diggity dog part. Everything else was written by mindless_leg_7443.
This is an interesting one. This is. I can see why you wanted to read this.
I wanted to read it so you could answer it first.
So, you know, there's this kind of discussion in ethics about cultural relativism versus ethical absolutism, where like you look at another culture and the way they do things and you can say, oh, they're unethical because in our culture we do this, because in an absolute sense things are ethical or things are not ethical. And in a relativist sort of way, you look at another culture and say, okay, in our culture, it would be unethical to be this way. And if you look at this culture, this is how they do things and they're different. And in that culture, it is ethical to do it that way. And then it's a question, are ethics absolute? And there is no definitive answer. But if you were to apply it to this situation, from a relative sort of way, no, like daughter-in-laws in Indian cultures, not all of them, I imagine, but from what I've seen and from what I understand and from what I've been told by people who are Indian, daughter-in-laws have like a responsibility to the parents equal to the child. And daughters specifically in Indian culture have a duty to care for parents that sons might not. And in a relative sort of way, that's everyone's pretty much hunky dory with that, except for the people who clearly aren't, because maybe they don't like that way of living, or they've lived somewhere else and come back to it and it doesn't speak to them anymore, whatever reason. But that is like the general vibe there. But in an absolute sense, this is very patriarchal. It's very it's like sexist. It's like very, very unfair to this person who, why should she be the one to care for these people? She's the one who's working in an equal division of labor in a relationship. You would expect the unemployed husband to be doing the brunt of the work, and maybe from his perspective he is right. Maybe from his perspective he's doing everything most of the week, and then she comes home and he needs the help. But from if we take what's going on at face value here, this is a matter of ethics. Now, taken from a different point of view, this is also like, the falling apart of a relationship because expectations have not been outlined very clearly. There's very poor communication. Because I think that if you have this great marriage the rest of the time, and then you hit this wall, and after 2 weeks you're very frazzled, I don't blame you for being so frazzled that you think about divorce. But then the next thought should be, well, I have this great relationship the rest of the time, so why is it not great now? What has changed? And how can I, instead of removing the change in my life, what can I do in order to adapt to the change, right? Like, you can kick these people out, but at the end of the day, they are your family now, unless you get a divorce. If you want them to remain your family and to treat them like family, you have to ask the question, how do I negotiate these people being a family, but without losing my sense of self and self-respect? So those are kind of like the two ways I'm thinking about it. Is this person an asshole? No, I don't think so. I think you're facing a kind of like an age-old ethical dilemma. I do think that you have to question how 2 weeks of being exhausted and frazzled have gotten you to the point that you're thinking of ending your marriage. That's my point of view. I'm very biased. When I think about marriage, I feel like there's lots of great reasons to end a marriage, and sometimes it's very healthy to do so. But I feel like you kind of owe it to yourself and to the person who you were that made that commitment to, you know, try to figure things out as much as you can. If not for the pain in the butt, the divorce is, then at least to honor a commitment that you made, which is always something that you should be aiming to do as best as you can. Do I think that you're being mistreated? Sure. I don't think you're being completely unreasonable. I just think that you need to ask yourself, like, am I being a little hasty? But no, you're not the asshole. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Love it. I agree with the second half. I think that I'm reading the drama. There's a lot of considerations here. And when you're working with anybody, considering culture and considering the contexts and perspectives that people are coming from, it's essential to working with somebody. The one sentence that stuck out to me was 100%. Up until this point, we had a great marriage, but his parents are making me rethink everything. So, okay. So what makes your marriage a great marriage? And how are these 2 weeks specifically different other than, you know, sort of this onus that's put on you with, you know, also having to take care of everybody? Again, I don't, like, for me personally, if I was in husband's shoes here, if I'm not working and I have my parents in town, I'm taking them for a hell of a good time. And then when my partner is done with work, we can all go for dinner together or hang out or cook together. Think that's the way to go here. But the real meat here, I feel, is that there's a great marriage before, but his parents are making me rethink everything. In what ways are they making you rethink everything? What has really changed? And then also, where I do think OP is kind of the asshole here, kind of, and I understand there's a lot of stress, there's a lot of heat coming in, going to the family and having an argument where you say, I could always divorce the son and tell the courts he's using me for citizenship.
Yeah.
It's going to blow up. It's going to blow up. Like, yeah. Even you could have the best intentions. The second those words come out of your mouth, game over.
The nuclear option, really, really.
It is the nuclear option. So not to say that your stress is undeserved or that you had no reason to feel stressed. Maybe you didn't have the words to say what you wanted to say. But I do think that the real piece is, what makes your marriage great? How are your parents making you rethink everything? And will that change after the parents go back to, they live in India, right? Yeah. In the last paragraph, it says that they live in India. So, you know, like, will that change when they go back to India? Furthermore, we have this other second concept called, well, we have many concepts, more than two, but it's called accepting versus tolerating. There's a lot of people we have in our life who we understand have to be in our life. Parents-in-laws are a great example. Do you have to accept them and love them and, you know, love hanging around them and be their best friends? I mean, it would be nice, but it's not feasible in every time. So then there's a second bucket you can put people in. Don't literally put people in buckets, but a second bucket that we can think of them in called tolerating. Meaning it's like, for next time when they come to visit, if, you know, you continue on with the marriage, you're like, oh, you know, they're going to come here, they're going to do these things. Some of the things really great on me, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to talk to my husband. We're going to pre-plan, you know, like maybe we'll pre-cook some of the meals together so that some meals are ready for them. And then we'll have like a Skype or however people Zoom. We're on Zoom right now. That's how people communicate in 2023. Or WhatsApp.
We'll re-download WhatsApp. Skype.
Yeah, re-download Skype and do. Millennials will remember. But you can have a pre-conversation for next time saying, hey, last time didn't work out really well. I do love having you all over, though. How, like, I'm going to be at work while you're here. So while you're here, I want you all to do these things. And we pre-prepared some food in the freezer. That's totally okay. You can tolerate them. Lots of people in our lives who are just like, you know, they're there. And when they're there, you're like, hey, what's up? But when they're not there, you're not like, you know, you tolerate them.
So this isn't the Olive Garden?
This is not the Olive Garden.
When they're there, they're not necessarily family.
Oh.
Very good. So, okay, that's a fair point. You know, I think going with that nuclear option made you at least kind of the asshole. I was so caught up with the circumstances of it. I feel like the way you responded is actually the way this OP responded was not ideal. Was that you're going to be your verdict kind of, or sort of, or mostly?
Yeah,
or
yeah, kind totally? Of. Yeah. I think it's justifiable. I think any real person in that shoe, when you like have one specific version of how something looks and then you have that kind of clash, there's going to be some kind of nuclear option. You know, I saw Oppenheimer recently, so everything's a nuclear option in my life, but, yeah, kind of the asshole for sure. But
and
very,
you're thinking of hitting the nuclear option.
Oh God. You can go check out the journal that talks back.com. We have a book a call button at the top. You have an intake call with somebody just like me. We match you with one of our 9 coaches if coaching is a good fit for you. And if it's not a fit for you, we're going to help you find a resource that's a better fit. When you're matched with your coach, you track your mood, your sleep, your stress, you journal, and your coach will read and respond to everything within 24 hours. It's unlimited, it's affordable, and it's on the go because it's all through journaling. And it's only $200 a month, and we're offering 10% off now if you just put in the little intake call box that you came from Am I the Bleep. So give that a check out. Listen to us more, please. So we're on all the streaming platforms. We're on Spotify, we're on Apple Music, we're on YouTube. That's a platform. We're on Google Podcasts. But John Rom, where else can they find us?
We're on Lunar Storm.
Okay.
Yeah. It's for Swedish teens. But we managed to get on there.
Yeah, we have great distribution, great channels.
I think so.
Yeah.
Do you know how hard it is to get onto Lunar Storm? I don't speak Swedish.
I feel like we should learn.
Is that the new segment of the podcast? The Swedish word.
Jonathan's try to learn a language. That'd okay. Nobody would want that.
Random Swedish word.
A huge thank you as well to GD Game Player for giving us that ChatGPT post. Super fun, super intriguing. We'll take 100 more of those, please, whenever you're ready. Please rate the podcast 5 stars, not just you, GD Game Player, but everyone else as well. John, do you have a quote or do you just want to go for the Swedish word? or both?
So the Swedish word of the day is, now I don't know if I'm saying this right, because there's an umlaut over the A. Tree.
What does it mean?
Tree. It means tree.
How's it spelled?
T-R-A with an umlaut D. I'm so sorry if you're Swedish and you're yelling at your phone right now.
I think it's just trad.
You idiots. Trad? We'll go with trad. It's like Chad.
But trad. Exactly.
But trad.
You want to hit them with the quote, Chad?
Oh, absolutely. An asshole is one who overlooks your broken fence and admires the flowers in your garden.